This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Mel Leung, Program Director for PACE Center for Independent Living in Urbana. But first, disability news for the week of August 18th, 2025. Disability advocates say the U.S. Department of Education may soon cancel hundreds of grants under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, Part D, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. These grants fund technical assistance centers, parent resource programs, and training for special educators. Robin Linscott, Director of Education and Family Policy at the ARC, said, quote, "No Part D grantee has received written notice, but credible information suggests the Office of Special Education Programs, or OSEP, plans to terminate hundreds of grants. We believe they were flagged through an AI scan targeting DEI terms, including most technical assistance centers," end quote. Many programs are mid-cycle but have not received renewal notices, and some grantees have been told to prepare to close. The Consortium for Constituents with Disabilities and the Council for Exceptional Children have alerted their members, while over 150 federally funded parent centers signed a letter urging Congress to intervene. The parent center leaders wrote, quote, "Eliminating these programs would undermine congressional intent and jeopardize services families rely on," end quote. Denise Marshall, CEO of the Council of Parent Attorneys and Advocates, or COPAE, said, quote, "Saving money off the backs of our children is appalling. Parents need training and support through Part D funds. We urge Congress, state legislators, and governors to say no," end quote. The Social Security Administration is moving to tighten eligibility for Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, and cut payments for some current recipients. The agency recently signaled it would rescind a Biden-era rule that broadened who counts as a public assistance household, a designation that can prevent SSI benefit reductions. According to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, SSI beneficiaries can lose up to a third of their payments if they receive in-kind support and maintenance, such as free housing from families. Those in public assistance households are exempt from this penalty. Policy analyst Kathleen Romig and Devin O'Connor warned, quote, "Under the anticipated Trump administration proposal, receiving food assistance from SNAP would no longer be enough to qualify. The change would ignore the reality that SNAP families have very low incomes. The typical multi-person household with an SSI recipient makes about $17,000 a year, well below poverty. The resulting cuts would hit low-income households with disabled family members or older relatives across the country," end quote. The Biden-era expansion finalized last year allowed mixed households and those receiving SNAP to qualify as public assistance households. SSA projected the rule would add 109,000 SSI recipients and boost payments for 277,000 more by 2033. Romig and O'Connor cautioned the rollback could discourage families from offering support, increase institutionalization, and burden beneficiaries with more reporting requirements. Any change would require a formal proposal and public comment period. Currently, SSI provides a maximum of $967 a month for individuals and $1,450 for couples, serving about 7.5 million Americans. The number of Americans caring for loved ones with complex medical needs or disabilities is surging, and many are struggling to cope. A new AARP and National Alliance for Caregiving report finds that 63 million people, nearly one in four adults, are family caregivers, up almost 50% since 2015. The survey of nearly 7,000 caregivers shows steep challenges. Nearly half face major financial strain, a quarter provide 40 or more hours of care weekly, and a third have been caregiving for at least 5 years. Almost one in three are also raising children. Most caregivers are unpaid, many lack training, and more than 13 million report difficulty managing their own health. Said Jason Resendez, CEO of the National Alliance for Caregiving, quote, "Family caregiving is no longer a looming crisis. It's a daily reality that 63 million Americans shoulder every day. We cannot continue to treat it as invisible labor. It's time for Congress, states, and employers to act with policies that reflect the essential role of caregivers," end quote. And finally, at the Claire E. Raley Studios for the Performing Arts in Sacramento, California, the Early Birds Band holds their band practices. The band, made up of adults with developmental disabilities, traces its roots to 1986 when it began as the Southside Ensemble, a percussion group at Southside Unlimited, a California provider. Over nearly four decades, it has grown into a self-sufficient band that covers popular hits, writes original music, and performs at venues across the city. Members manage their own contracts, transportation, and equipment, operating with the independence of any professional act. The current lineup includes vocalists, two guitarists, keyboards, and drums. Prospective members must learn three songs before the band votes them in. Multi-instrumentalist Elizabeth Yarlahar describes the group as like my family. Music instructor Dakota Medina, who has taught with Southside Unlimited for 4 years, treats the group as working musicians. Medina said, quote, "The focus is to spread that music connection and show that people with disabilities are talented and amazing," end quote. And that's the news for this week. And our transition music, by the way, is from the Early Birds Band. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today in the studio by Mel Leung, who is the program director at PACE Center for Independent Living right here in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome to the program, Leung.
Hello. Thank you for letting me come.
Sure. No problem. I was really excited to have you here because I've known about PACE for a very long time, but I'll tell you what, it seems to me that you've been going through some pretty significant changes in recent years and doing things that had never been done before. So why don't we start out and just introduce yourself to the listeners first, and then we'll dig into all of what's going on at PACE.
Well, I'm Mel Young. I've been working at PACE since 2018. I have two children, one 20 and one 15. So they're growing up really fast. I also have a dog named Flip. He's a senior citizen, so he's very well loved and pampered at home by all of the kids and all the family members. So been here at Champaign since 2018. I was originally from Carbondale, grew up there, been there for 25 years. But my husband got a job here in Central Illinois, and he moved the whole family, and we're here.
Yeah. So what brings you to work in the disability field?
Well, when I first started in SIU, Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, I worked as with people with disability, and it just seems like the calling for me. Every time I come around and wanted to branch out, it just keep pulling me back. I worked in a facility in a day center for 25 years, and I thought that was my calling. And so when I moved to Central Illinois, it just seems to just keep pulling me back. And that's how I ended up working at PACE and love doing my job.
Well, it is obvious to see how excited you get when you're talking about the programs there and the work that you're doing. And that is really awesome to have somebody working there that really gets, you know, revved up because yes. They love their work. So let's talk first about what is PACE in general? What can people expect to get from PACE?
So PACE is a center for independent living. We help people with various disabilities. So pretty much if you have any question regarding disability, don't hesitate to call PACE, because as I said, we don't just serve one disability, we serve various disabilities. So if you have any question, concern, or just want to be pointed out in the right direction, don't hesitate to call us at PACE, because we'll be able to connect you or able to provide you resources to be able to kind of show you what you're asking for and stuff. We believe in full participation. Since we are a center for independent living, we love that we work with the consumer. The consumer guides the services. They drive the services, and they ask us what they need, and what they're looking for.
And you try and figure out what that is and where they can get it.
We try. Yes, ma'am.
I know. It's not an easy task very often, I'm sure, in this area, because everybody seems to be so program-based that, you know, to think about serving somebody based on their individual needs or desires can be foreign.
Yep. And so what we do is just start that conversation with you. We, as I said, we let you guide that conversation. We let you drive that conversation. We ask you what you want to accomplish, what goal you want and stuff. So that way we can kind of point you to that direction, that what you want to accomplish.
Yeah. So even though I've just dissed programs in general, you do a lot of very specific things for people with a variety of disabilities that are kind of long-standing programs
at
PACE. Why don't we go through some of those for people who are not aware?
Okay. So let's start with, so I'm new to my position. I'm the program director at PACE now. But before that, I have the passion for the people who are consumers with intellectual and developmental disability. Mm-hmm. So my program, before I became program director, I was the PA, personal assistant, personal support worker, coordinator at PACE. Mm-hmm. Those are the two referral programs that we have at PACE. So that means my job is to recruit and maintain a registry of personal assistant and personal support worker for consumers with developmental disability. That is funded by the Champaign County Developmental Disability Board. We are, at the Champaign, very unique. We are the only one that has that registry in the whole state of Illinois. So wow. I have the PA, which is a statewide registry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for the whole Illinois. But the personal support worker registry is very unique for Champaign County residents, that if you have an intellectual or developmental disability diagnosis, you can call PACE, and we have a registry that I recruit for at least once or twice a month for people to get on the registry who are looking to be hired by a consumer with IDDD.
So you are the person to call for a family member who has a child with home-based support services.
Yes, ma'am.
And how many people, how many support workers, potential personal support workers do you have in that registry right now?
So right now I am averaging 30 to 40.
Wow.
PSW. But again, as I tell you, it's a center for independent living. So I ask the consumer what their preferences is. So that means by the interview, questions that you have provided me, I kind of narrow it down from that registry who might be good to be referred to you. Again, we don't decide who you should hire and who you should interview. I just provide you referral names. Mm-hmm. But for example, if you're looking for someone that you don't want to be around dogs and stuff because you have a dog as a pet, I'll be looking at that registry for someone that could be around dogs. So kind of answering those preliminary questions that you have before for a PSW. So that way when you see it, you know those questions that you told me has been answered already. So.
Yeah, yes, that's really interesting. And do you do any kind of screening, background checks or anything like that? Or is that left to the person who's hiring them?
I do. So that's actually one of the good things about the PSW registry. With that, before they get on that registry, I do run those healthcare registry check. I do run that National Sex Offender, Illinois Sex Offender, and the DCFS CAMHS check. So mm-hmm. I do run those, but that no means that doesn't replace when you hire that person. Those background checks will be rerun again to make sure they're clear. But for me to add them to the registry, at least I do those initial check to be able to accept them on the registry.
Yeah. And are you gearing up for the switch to the electronic verification system that's coming up?
I do. Because actually, that's one of the benefits that I have in the back. Ground of it, because on the PA they already do the EVV, electronic visit verification, so a lot of the PA that's on the registry is pretty familiar with that situation, so that when I tell them about that in the PSW, they're not quite, oh, I don't know that, because they already know on the other side of the PA that they know how to do that EVV.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So if anybody out there has questions about EVV, Mel is the person to contact.
I'll try my best to answer your question. If not, again, I will try to point you to the right direction. Okay. I'm the first one to say that I don't know all the answer, but I will try.
Okay. Well, that's all we can hope for, right?
Right.
So we don't want to spend all of our time on the PSW registry, but because there's a lot of other stuff going on at PACE. So what's another program that you're pretty excited about?
So many people doesn't know that PACE is a testing center. So one of the things that I didn't know until I got hired at PACE was, did you know that if you have a cell phone or a landline, you could be, and you have loss of hearing or if you need a hearing aid or something, there's this program called an Illinois Telecommunication Access Corporation. It's called ITAC. They give out free equipment for someone, like an amplified phone or a cell phone amplifier, free of charge. Because if you are an Illinois resident and you can have an audiologist or your doctor certify that you will benefit from an amplified phone or a cell phone amplifier, you could go to you. We can assist you in filling out the paperwork and sending it out to ITAC, and they will send you either an amplified phone or a cell phone amplifier for free. It doesn't cost you anything. We, if we have a landline or a cell phone, we already pay for it in our taxes. So this is a benefit for an Illinoisan to know if they require an amplified phone or cell phone amplifier, they can get that equipment for free.
Wow, that's amazing, actually. I did not know that.
Yep.
What else is happening? You do services for people who are hearing impaired. Are there other things that fit into that category as well?
Yep, so our deaf service coordinator offers a sign language class mm-hmm. 2 or 3 times a year. So if you are interested in learning signs, a sign language, you could definitely call us, and he can connect you to when the classes start.
Mm-hmm.
He also, if you are looking for an interpreter for an event or something and stuff, and you need like a event or a gathering or something, so the deaf service coordinator will be able to assist you because he maintains a list of interpreter in the area.
So are you the ones that provide the interpreters for the upcoming Disability Resource Expo?
So they can call us for a list, but usually the event itself pays for the interpreters.
Okay. And is there a cost to a consumer who needs an interpreter?
So it doesn't usually have a cost because it's the access thing. It's the right thing.
Right, yeah. So whoever is whatever they're needing that interpreter for, that agency should probably
be
paying for that service. So what else do we do at PACE?
Well, we do have an equipment loan closet. So that's one of the biggest thing that we have, is that if you have a medical situation that you need a knee scooter or a transport wheelchair or some, don't hesitate to call PACE, because we might have it in the loan closet. Rather than paying the full price of a knee scooter, for example, you could, and it's a temporary situation for you, you can call PACE. We can loan it out for you. We do encourage that you become a member of PACE, because to provide, sustain our services, we do have some support. But ultimately, it's a lot cheaper to borrow it for that.
That medical equipment can be horribly, horribly expensive. Yeah. Do you take donations?
Yes, ma'am, we do, because that's how we support our service. If you're willing to donate and you're not using anymore, we'll call us, see if we can have it in our loan closet, and we'll take it. But again, you think about it. If you donate it to us, we'll be able to share that to other people who are in need of that.
Yeah,
services.
So wheelchairs, things like that, you take as well?
Slide boards. We do take depends. We do for someone to have and stuff. I said knee scooter. We have rollators of walkers and stuff. We have aluminum walkers. So pretty much, if you're kind of questioning that, should I pay for this full price? Don't hesitate to give us a call, because we might have it on the loan closet and it's cheaper to get it.
Well, that sounds like a great option for people who are, you know, struggling with trying to cover their medical expenses in general.
And if you're, when you're done, you can always return it back to PACE, and then you can be sure that other people will benefit from
absolutely
it,
so. Okay, what else have you got?
Well,
this is pretty exciting.
Well, as I said, we have new things at PACE. We also have an advocate for access, so we call upon the whole whole area. If you have concerns in the community and stuff, please, it's a group for the public to join and voice out your concern. It's our advocacy group. So if you have something you want to advocate for, join us, and we'd be more than, as a group, we'll be more than willing to talk about it and come together to kind of be heard, our voice be heard out there for our concerns.
So. Give me an example of concern that somebody's expressed that you have been able to discuss and impact in some
way. So one of our members has spearheaded the shoveling of the sidewalks.
Oh, yeah.
So she personally went on the TV station and was interviewed, because she was very passionate about it. Because if you know, if you're a wheelchair user and the plow come through, it gets shoveled to the sidewalk and stuff like that. And her using a wheelchair, it kind of impedes her on her travel. So she advocated for us. We created letters, and we, as I said, she went on TV to kind of tell everyone, please keep an eye on those sidewalks, making sure it's clear for someone who accessed them and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So if people are interested in becoming a part of that group, is there a specific day and time that they meet, or should they just contact you and get that information?
It is every first Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
And then now that we have it on hybrid, so some people can come to PACE, but it is also that we can have it on Zoom, and you can join in on Zoom. All you have to do is call PACE, and we will connect you to the coordinator of the Advocate for Access, and then they could email you the Zoom link, or you can come in person.
I know there's more, Mel, and we're running out of time, so we have to go through it quickly.
I think you need to invite me again, because I think I have a lot more things to tell you about PACE.
I think you do.
But first, the last thing I want to mention to you is that we do have a big thing. One of our deaf service coordinator is very passionate about this movie. It's called CODA. It's for so if you're not doing anything on the 29th of July, he will have it showing at PACE. It's only $1 to come in to see that movie, to donate to PACE and stuff, but we will have free popcorn, $1 soda, and just socialize with each other and stuff. So if you have nothing to do, come over to PACE and join us on a movie day.
I have seen CODA. It is an amazing movie. Really, really good. So let's give, before we're done today, give people all the contact information that they need to get in touch with PACE, the the phone number, the website. You have a Facebook page too, all that stuff. People.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. So the first things first is just call 217-344-5433. That's our phone number. And just if you want to, in general, that's a general phone number. And then just tell them what you're looking for. And our receptionist will kind of point you to the right direction and transfer you to that extension. Also, if you want to email me, it's pretty easy. It's my first name, Mel, M-E-L, at PACECIL.org. And we do have a website as PACECIL.org. So that's pretty much it. And then we do have a Facebook. Just look for PACE, and it's our general Facebook. And
stuff, yeah, so. There's always something going on at PACE, I know. In the future, are there things that you're looking at as far as expanding services, or are you just trying to keep your head above water at this point?
Well, we always dream to expand. We always want to help people and stuff. So we pretty much, as I said, it drives the consumer drives the services. So the more we hear from the community, mm-hmm. then that kind of push us to say, hey, we need to access that service to provide more information and more opportunity for someone to access funding for anyone that's calling PACE.
Yeah. So. Well, I know that historically it's perceived that PACE is to serve people with physical disability, but you do more than that.
Yes,
obviously.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We call us, as I said, we serve various disability, not just physical disability. Like, we are now having our registry for IDDD and stuff. So we have a lot of things new at PACE. If you haven't been to PACE for a while, don't hesitate to give us a call, because we might have it and you'll be surprised.
Okay. Well, I am surprised already. So thank you so much for joining me today, Mel Leung of PACE Center for Independent Living.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Hey, if you have an old car, truck, motorcycle, or boat that you'd like to get rid of, you can make it easy on yourself and donate that vehicle to Charitable Adult Rides and Services. Just designate WEFT to receive the proceeds from your gift. All you need is a clear title. Charitable Adult Rides and Services will pick it up, haul it away, and there will be no charge to you. You can make arrangements on their website at careasy.com or call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-7433. Remember, tell them that you want WEFT to receive the proceeds, and thanks in advance for your donation. And it's time now for Food Sleuth Radio. So first we're going to put on the most recent underwriting, and we'll get right to it. Thanks for tuning in today.
This hour of programming is brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and the Champaign Park District. Enjoy live jazz music? Champaign Park District's Jazz in the Park concert series is happening all summer long at a variety of park locations. Everyone is invited to bring lawn chairs, snacks, and refreshments. The full Jazz in the Park schedule can be found at champaignparks.org.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigative nutritionist on a mission to connect the dots between food, health, and agriculture and find food truth. And today I'm delighted to welcome my guest, Mr. Daniel Rosen. He is co-founder of the Coalition for Carceral Nutrition, where he is the director of advocacy and partnerships. Mr. Rosen is a justice reform advocate who was incarcerated in both Virginia and Washington, D.C. between the years of 2015 and 2021. Before co-founding the Coalition for Carceral Nutrition, he was an advocate with Worth Rises, a nonprofit working to dismantle the prison industry and end the exploitation of those it affects. Prior to incarceration, Mr. Rosen spent almost 20 years in public service.